Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Hello and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. Our guest this week is Democratic State Representative Jillian Gilchrist, who is running for Connecticut's 1st Congressional District, which is shaping up to be a very interesting race. We'll talk about it in our conversation today on Face Connecticut. Representative Gilchrist, good to have you back on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I don't know quite where to begin. I guess we begin at the nomination convention, the Democratic convention that was held earlier in May, in which you were able to get on to the primary on August 11th with the incumbent Democratic Congressman, John Larson, and another challenger, Luke Bronin. Kind of give me a little run-up, because we haven't talked since last year. What brought you to that particular moment? How did you get there?
Sure. So I've been going around the 27 towns here in the 1st Congressional District, meeting with the various Democratic town committees, and had a good deal of support. There were folks, though, that didn't want to offend the congressman, and others who thought having money meant you had viability. And so in the end, though, enough folks supported my campaign, and I was able to get the 15% and get onto the ballot.
Right. That involved going up to a lot of delegates and getting delegate support. And, you know, that process itself, in addition to meeting the average everyday residents that make up the district, you know, you kind of got to get on the delegates' good side. And as you indicated, that was a challenge a little bit, but ultimately worked out for you. You know, what's it like meeting delegates and talking with them about why they should select you to advance in the process?
You know, it was different this year than when I did this back in 2018. Now, in 2018, I ran just in West Hartford for state representative. But when I spoke with Democratic delegates about challenging an incumbent, there was a sense that you don't go against your own. That wasn't the case this time around. Democrats seem ready to have different people representing them in Congress, and they liked what I had to say. They liked the idea that government should actually do good by people and that a social worker like myself might be helpful at this point in time when things are a little chaotic down in Washington.
What are some of the specific challenges that you want to address that you feel at this point in time under Congressman Larson are not being addressed properly or the way that you would like to see them addressed? Could you give some examples?
Sure. First and foremost, it's stopping Donald Trump's destruction of this country and the Republicans in Congress who are allowing him to do so. And then it's using the government to actually support people. And so with all due respect to Congressman Larson, he has not been using the seat with the urgency that he should be. And so it is not just talking about progressive values, it's pushing for actual policies. And so I want to get profit out of healthcare. I want to ensure that people can access the care they need when they need it. I want to hold corporations accountable so that people are actually paid a living wage and the cost of living isn't as high. I also want supports for folks, universal child care, paid family and medical leave, housing supports. And so these are all things that Democrats like myself need to be working with their colleagues and pushing for day in and day out until we get them across the finish line.
So the key word I heard there was urgency. So you would say that what you're bringing to the table that is different than the congressman who's currently in the seat in the district is urgency?
Yes. And the way I work. So again, with my social work skills, I've been trained to build coalitions and partnerships that allow you to actually push for policies both inside Congress and outside. And so, yeah, I just don't see that the congressman has used the seat to push for the change that folks are screaming out for, quite frankly. I mean, the cost of living at this point in time is killing people, as is the cost of healthcare. And the congressman takes funding from corporations. He also takes funding from insurance companies. And so we need to elect people to Washington who are down there pushing for policies that will benefit people, not being in a seat that benefits themselves.
We've seen money become kind of an issue in this particular race, and I've been following it closely, that both Congressman Larson and also the other challenger, Luke Bronin, they have been kind of in a match, if you will, who can outfund one another, whereas you are not at that particular level, the millions of dollars, but you kind of are making the case that it's more about people than it is about dollars. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes, and you do need money to run a campaign, and we've raised over $120,000 in individual donations, and we're continuing to fundraise so we can get our message out. So if listeners want to donate, that'd be great. But the issue at hand is the fact that Luke Bronin has raised more than $2 million and John Larson has raised more than $1 million. You have to look where that money's coming from and how that's going to influence the decisions they would make or that Congressman Larson has made while in Congress. So again, Congressman Larson takes corporate PAC money, he takes money from insurance companies, Eversource, and then Luke Bronin, news just hit yesterday that he's taking money from GOP donors, from those who are invested in data centers, and from wealthy donors who are looking to get moderate corporate Democrats into office. And so while money is seen as this viability for a candidate, it's actually what's hurting this country right now. And so we need to elect people down to Congress who are in there for the right reasons and who are pushing for change that will actually positively impact people's lives.
When I had spoken with Congressman Larson, again, this was last year when he had officially announced that he's seeking reelection again. When I talked with him, you know, he had talked about taking money and using it in the past to support other Democratic efforts elsewhere around the country. And I find that interesting because are you kind of looking at the way the Democrat Party is focusing on broader issues rather than on more localized impact? Is that something that you're kind of paying attention to, where efforts are actually going, if it's going to Connecticut or, I don't know, Kansas? Pick another state.
Sure. So similar to my role in the state legislature, I was elected to represent a portion of West Hartford, and so certainly was looking to improve conditions here locally. But as a state representative, I was representing the entirety of the state of Connecticut, and so passing policies that would improve upon everyone's lives in our state. That's the same thing at the federal level. You know, have to definitely be responsible to and conscious of the needs of the first congressional district, but then also need to work with my colleagues in Congress to be pushing for positive change for this country. And so I think it's making sure you're doing both of those things at the same time, which ties back to that concept of urgency, but also just working tirelessly day in and day out. Every single day you're elected to serve.
Let's go back to May 11th. And for those of you just joining us now in our conversation on Face Connecticut, my guest this week is Democratic State Representative Jillian Gilchrist. She is seeking election to Congress in Connecticut's first congressional district. Take me back to that night of the convention. Were you surprised when you had crossed over the 15%? It was a pretty fierce fight, or did you have confidence that you were going to make it?
I don't take anything for granted, so I was a nervous wreck leading up until the very moment, and I think I might have been in a little bit of shock once it happened. I had had conversations, like I said, and knew where my delegate count stood. I'd also had conversations with Manchester, Connecticut in particular, who had committed to me that they wanted me on the ballot. And so they were going to see where I stood at the end of the first round and make sure I got on. And in the end, that's what happened.
As far as the incumbent, I mean, I saw a video, I saw pictures of Representative Larson. At one point, he looked, I don't know what the word would be, whether it would be surprised or disappointed that it was kind of shaped up that way. And then he gave his speech, which was more of a rally and vowing to fight, as we would expect him to say in any such speech. But, you know, what's your read on him at this point in time?
So having gone and spoke with so many Democrats in the Democratic town committees in these 27 towns, I knew people were ready for change. I knew that they have a lot of respect for the congressman, but they think it's time for someone new to represent the first congressional district. I think the issue right now that I hope to raise throughout the rest of this campaign up to August 11th is that someone like Luke Bronin may be new, but he's not different. And we need different representation. And so I'm hoping folks will see in myself and my track record at the legislature and what I put out there that I would be a different type of leader for the first congressional district, and that we have an opportunity to send someone to Washington who will really push for the needs of people.
Beyond just money, what is it that you need? Do you need events with other congressmen? Do you need to partner with other representatives from the House that support you? Is it the local towns? What does it look like as far as helping to boost you to get to August 11th?
So we are people-powered.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And so it's all about volunteers joining us to go door knocking. I've been out door knocking all week. We will be door knocking every single day up until August 11th, because it's actually about going out and meeting voters, listening to them, learning what they need, and letting them know the type of representative I would be for them. We're also going to be doing phone banks to voters and attending community events to raise awareness. So people are welcome to join us. It's like I said, people powered. And then, as you mentioned, yes, we do need funding. We need donations in order to pay some campaign staff and to put out literature so that people can better know about my campaign and to boost things on social media. But at the end of the day, it's really about talking to voters.
I want to point to the Democratic autopsy that came out on the 2024 election. This was just fresh out, and it's interesting to read, and it's interesting to see what some of the analysts have to say about the election 2 years ago, specifically the presidential election. I know you're not running for president, but some of the ideas here kind of seem to ring true to all kinds of elections. And one of the parts that I want to kind of hone in on for our conversation, Representative, is that there was some criticism that maybe the Democrats were not listening to all voters. What does that mean to you?
I agree. I think that Democrats, in large part, spend a lot of time polling or coming up with what they think people want and need, rather than going out and speaking to folks and understanding from them what their day-to-day looks like. And to me, the only way to do that is to meet them at their door and listen to them. And then you have to work with your colleagues to actually deliver and push for meaningful changes that will improve people's lives. Most people just want to be able to live their lives. And right now, because of the cost of living and because of the way the Trump administration is trampling on people's rights, that's becoming harder and harder.
Taking a look at your district, the first congressional district, it's pretty diverse. You've got Hartford, you've got Granby. They're very different areas. What is the makeup of these towns? I mean, every town, of course, has its own character, but, you know, we're talking about a really diverse, very Democratic district. What are the needs of the people that you're meeting, that you're talking with from across Greater Hartford?
you're so right. It is so diverse. And that's, again, where a single talking point or that comes out, you know, isn't what we need to be focused on. And so, you know, I met with someone yesterday whose adult child has cancer, right? They're struggling with that issue. And so that brings up the issues of healthcare and healthcare affordability and how do you access that? Speaking with another person 2 days ago who's concerned about AI and what that's going to do to the environment and to the workforce. And so it's not just any one issue. It's making sure that when I get elected into Congress, I can build a team that can both stay connected to the community to understand what they need from me as their representative, and so that I can be informed to be pushing for policies that will touch on a variety of issues that impact people's lives.
Are you following election trends from coast to coast outside of Connecticut? Because there seems to be a lot of dissatisfaction, I guess, even in Connecticut, you know, with the governor's race. But, you know, I'm kind of looking at the whole country here for a moment. You know, there seems to be a level of dissatisfaction with incumbent candidates, yes, on both sides of the aisle, but particularly with Democrats. Is there something that you think you're bringing to the table here that would offer unity across the board if you've got challenges within the actual party itself?
Yes. And, you know, it's interesting. Of course, I'm a candidate, but I'm also a resident, right? I'm a citizen and I'm frustrated. And having served in the legislature, I'm frustrated by politicians who speak a good game and then don't deliver. And so I think that's the frustration we're seeing, is that people are sick and tired of the game playing. They want someone who will represent them, who actually wants things to improve in this country, isn't just getting into a role because that's the job they want. They're getting into the role, and this is why I'm in it. I want to actually make positive change that will improve people's lives. And then I want to turn around and say, who's next? Like, this isn't supposed to be a lifetime appointment. And right now, at the federal level in particular, money is playing such a negative role because it is impacting who wins and who loses. And right now we're seeing it. The wealthy are winning in this country at the expense of everyone else. And we need to ensure that everyday people can live their best lives.
You've described yourself, I in fact saw it and heard it in a video just yesterday, you've described yourself as a progressive Democrat. And yet, I'm also hearing from more moderate Democrats and perhaps some modern Democrats who are in established positions, whether it's in Connecticut or somewhere else in the country. What is the balance here? Because there's like a tug of war going on between the further left progressives and the more centrist might bend on a few issues here or there. You know, Governor Lamont, in a way, is kind of falling into that category on some issues. What is the balance here?
Sure. So I think we get stuck in the weeds on the terms. And so I like to speak about what I actually think it means to be a progressive. And so for me, being a progressive means people are paid a living wage. It means people can access health care, and that our health care system is more about health care being affordable for everyday people and not insurance company executives making insane amounts of money. Being a progressive means people should have paid family and medical leave. They should be able to take care of their new baby or a sick loved one and not lose their job. Being a progressive means those in the LGBTQ community and women have access to their bodies and their rights. And so I think that most people would actually align with the progressive agenda. It's just we get stuck in these terms that muddy the waters.
Another progressive and one of your colleagues at the state capitol, Representative Josh Elliott of Hamden, he's running for governor, and he reached about a quarter of all of the delegate support in his particular race up against incumbent Governor Ned Lamont. I know that you're not necessarily focused on this particular race, but what does that say for this movement of challenging incumbents Are you in any contact with Representative Elliott? You know, you guys aren't totally apart on a number of issues, although you're running for very different seats. You know, what's your read on this situation?
So, yep, I'm in contact with him. I actually came out and endorsed him. I think what you're seeing in that race is this frustration I'm talking about, where we have a Democrat, Ned Lamont, who speaks a good game, but when push came to shove, he needed to be pushed by progressives in the legislature to pass a variety of policies. And so I think folks in this state and in this country are sick and tired of having their tax dollars not go to improve their lives. The government, we pay into the government. The government should actually be supporting us. And so we need to elect people who believe that and will work to make that a reality.
All right. So we're coming up on the last few minutes of our conversation on Face Connecticut. Again, chatting with State Representative Jillian Gilchrist, who is looking to challenge incumbent Congressman John Larson in the primary on August 11th for Connecticut's 1st Congressional District, which is also a race involving the former Hartford mayor, Luke Bronin. What are you going to be doing in the next week or two? What is your focus as soon as we finish up our conversation?
I am heading out to Glastonbury, Connecticut to door knock. So if you're a Democrat, I'll see you at the door. If you are unaffiliated, there is still time to switch over to vote in the Democratic primary on August 11th. But it's really just letting people know about my track record as a state legislator and listen to them again, like I said, and learn from them what it is that they want in someone representing them in Washington at this point in time.
Anything else our listeners should know at this moment?
Sure. They can visit voteforjillian.com, and that's Jillian with a J, to get involved, to make a donation, and to learn more. And I thank you so much for this opportunity.
Well, I really appreciate it. It's been a good update. We'll be following this, of course, as we go through the rest of the summer on WTIC leading up to the primary on August 11th. And we'll also have conversations, just so our listeners know, with the other candidates running in the race before then as well. So I appreciate your time.
Yes, thank you, and have a lovely Memorial Day weekend. Bye.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.